We're discussing what bystanders can do when someone is getting assaulted or harassed. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer, Kent. Anti-Asian hate crimes have dramatically increased in the pandemic. The violence has sparked discussions like the one we're having now about what bystanders can do to help safely stop it in the moment. Have you witnessed a harassment situation where you had to intervene? Was there a situation where you regret not intervening? 800-642-1234. Gabriela Mejia is a trainings and communications associate for Hollaback. It's a nonprofit working to end street harassment and harassment in all its forms. Gabriela, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for welcoming.
Yes. Your organization over the years has trained more than 38,000 people in bystander intervention tactics. Does it work?
We found it does work to empower people and to make them feel like they can intervene in ways that are safer and that are going to keep the person who's being harassed safe.
What have you found in these trainings as you train so many thousands of people in this work? What have they told you about what they want to be able to do?
I've heard some concerns, and we really do want to center the tools that we share with people around those concerns, which can be around safety. It can be around sharing the same identity as the person who's being harassed and not knowing what to do. We created a set of bystander tools to share with those people that address concerns of safety and de-escalate situations.
We're going to be getting to those tools, those tactics in just a moment. But I want to find out first, especially in the pandemic, there's been a documented dramatic rise in anti-Asian hate crimes and violence. How has your organization responded?
So we actually, because we do collect stories of harassment, we did see an increase in stories being shared with us by members of the Asian community last March. And throughout this past year, we work with our partners at Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, to create a training specifically to respond to that increase. So we created a training called Bystander Intervention in the Face of Anti-Asian, Asian American Harassment. And over the past year, we trained 16,000 people, which we were pretty proud to be able to offer that. But over the past month, we saw 50,000 people register for our training.
Wow.
So definitely this spike has led to a lot of people wanting to show up.
What's been the response to these trainings? How do people feel afterward?
We actually do exit surveys, of course, and we found that over 97% of people say that they feel like they could at least do one thing in response to harassment if they were to witness it right after. So I think the overall response has really been really positive, and people are relieved to know that there are tools that they that are available to them and are simple and approachable.
Well, let's talk about the tools, the intervention, the tactics that you are trying to teach. There are these five D's that you teach about. Can you explain them?
Right. I can certainly explain them. I do a lot of sharing these tools. So I personally found them really helpful. So I can go through them. We call them the five D's of bystander intervention. And we made them all start with a D to make them easy to remember, because we want these to be easy to remember in those moments when maybe you might freeze. So the first D is distract, and it is to create a distraction to bring an end to the harassment. And what we're doing with any of these D's is showing up in support. So what we want to make sure is that your distraction brings an end to the harassment. That can be going up to the person who's being harassed and asking them for the time and building community with them so that they're not alone and not this easy target. You can also go up to them and pretend you know them and give them an out of that situation. You can let them know, hey, how have you been? How's your mom? Are you busy right now? Do you want to get out of here? And you can give them a chance to step away of perhaps a situation that is escalating. Then the next D is delegate, which is pretty simple, but often, even it's happened to me, we forget. And delegate is to ask for help. You can ask for help from other bystanders who are noticing something is wrong, but are maybe stuck in inaction. Or you can ask for help from someone in a position of authority, like a store manager, a security guard, a flight attendant.
Yeah, so someone around you who might be able to do something to also intervene.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's folks' job to de-escalate situations. They may be trained in it in a way that may be helpful for the situation. Or they're just a position of authority. So like a teacher in a classroom can de-escalate a situation pretty more easily than perhaps a student. So I also want to stress that other bystanders, once other people are involved, that usually helps situations de-escalate because more people involved keeps that person safe and brings light to the situation. So delegate, really, you have a few options there. The next D is document, which is pretty instinctual to a lot of us nowadays. It can mean taking your phone out, taking that picture or that video. But I do want to stress that there are important tips to make sure you're going to be supportive in your documentation, which the first tip is that if the harassment is ongoing, you should combine it with delegate. You should be bringing the harassment to an end and then taking that photo to or that video to help that person who's being harassed not feel like they're just being made a spectacle of or being stared at. And with documentation, we stress also that you give it to the person who's been harassed. That way, they can then use it to report, they can choose to share it on social media, or they can keep it to their private files because harassment is pretty traumatic. So maybe they don't want anyone else to see it on social media. So it should be up to them to make that choice. And when you hand it over to them, you text it over, you send it over, email it over, you're going to be the most helpful to them and most supportive. Our fourth D,
I was just going to jump in here, and before we go to the next D, and just to reintroduce, you're talking with Gabriela Mejia, who is a trainings and communication associate for Hollaback. It's a grassroots organization aimed at ending street harassment, giving us tactics and tools this morning to be able to be a bystander who can do something in these moments. Have you been in a situation like this where you've had to intervene in harassment in a particular situation that was escalating? What did you do? 800-642-1234. Gabriela, what is that next D?
The next D, our fourth D, is delay. And I usually, when I train folks on this, and we do train folks for free on our website, I will later on say this, which is that delay is my superpower. It's my favorite D. And delay is to simply, after the harassment has ended, go up to the person who's been harassed and take care of them. So that can be letting them know, hey, I saw what happened. It wasn't right. It's not acceptable. What can I do right now to make you feel safe? What do you need from me? And what we found with our research with Cornell University is that as little as a knowing glance from a stranger can have this positive healing effect from the trauma of harassment for the person who's been harassed. So if as little as a knowing glance is pretty powerful in helping someone, your words are very powerful in helping them not internalize what just happened to them or think that it was in any way their fault. So use those words that are probably already in your head or in your heart when you witness something, and say them out loud, share them, make sure you're taking care of that person. Our final D is direct. And all the other Ds, the four I just shared, are indirect actions. You're not addressing the harassment directly in the moment. But of course, with direct, that is the D where we want you to, if you feel safe enough to do that, if you've assessed your safety and you feel like, yes, I can say something directly right now, go up to that person who's doing the harassing, tell them, name the behavior they're doing, ask for it to stop, and that's the end of your conversation with them. in this moment, you're showing up in support. So I want to stress that you should then turn around and take care of that person who's been harassed. You don't want to get into a back and forth, into an argument, or any kind of conversation with the person who's doing the harassing, because you're not showing up for that. That could escalate things if you don't handle it, if you're not used to handling situations like that. So what I want you to do is just very clearly be firm, clear, and final with the sentence that you say to them. If your mind goes blank in these situations, I would suggest calling out what it is. Tell them, can you please stop harassing this person? Or what you're doing is harassment, please stop. And that can be empowering.
We are talking about what to do if we witness a hate incident with Gabriela Mejia of Holla Back. It's a grassroots organization working to root out harassment in all its forms. What do you want to know about bystander intervention? Have you been trained in de-escalation tactics? What would you like to share? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Gabriela Mejia here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the five D's of bystander intervention and how to prevent violence and help out in the moment. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The organization Holla Back has trained more than 38,000 people in how to intervene when they see harassment happen. Have you witnessed a harassment situation where you had to intervene? Have you been targeted with catcalls or suggestive comments? What did you do or a bystander do, and how did it make you feel? Join in 800-642-1234. Gabriela Mejia of Holla Back is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Marcus now from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. What would you like to share?
Good morning. So I've taught Taekwondo in the Milwaukee metropolitan area for a number of years. I'm no longer affiliated with any school, but I still teach to anybody who I feel will benefit from it. One of the things that we tried to stress through the different dojos was that don't be a bystander, meaning don't stand there and just look on and gawk. If nothing else, yell, hey, do something, but don't be a bystander. Help resolve the situation, because if we're honest, every single one of us, without a doubt, has at some time felt that we've been attacked, that we could have, you know, somebody could have come to our aid, where someone has come to our aid. And so be that positive influence. I think as a species, if we can be human and kind and be both at the same time, I think we'd really have something, Kate.
Oh, Marcus, thank you for that. Gabriela, what do you make of that? Marcus saying, just do something.
I, of course, agree with that. And like Marcus shared, I personally feel like I've been in both roles. I've been in the role of where I wanted someone to help me, because like a lot of folks in the harassment work, I've been harassed, and that's what brings me and makes me care about the work. But I've also been there where we freeze, and that is just much too common. But it's also not what is most natural to us. We like to share that bystander intervention, we didn't come up with it. It is a natural thing we're all doing all the time for each other. When we see something go wrong, we step up and take care of each other in really small ways where we don't even think about it. So I think it's within all of us to be active bystanders.
Gabriela, I keep thinking about the teenage bystander who took the witness stand recently in Derek Chauvin's trial, and her video circulated around the world. Darnella said on the witness stand, "It's been nights. I've stayed up apologizing and apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life." What would you say about the crushing weight of guilt a bystander feels when a situation is out of their control or they regret not doing something differently?
I think we can all recognize that, you know, in the example you've shared, that situation was out of her control. But what I want us to put a light on is the fact that that documentation, that recording, is bringing justice. right? Mm-hmm. It's helping on that road. It's being helpful still, even though you couldn't do what was really out of your control in that moment. You were still active and helpful, and you're still making a change by doing something, just at least one thing in response to that. Even if you can't end the situation or de-escalate it all by yourself, you can still help out.
Along those lines, when police are involved on the scene, how does Hollaback's bystander intervention training address situations that do involve police officers?
So we do have we did see the need and created a training specifically called Bystander Intervention to Stop Police-Sponsored Violence and Anti-Black Racist Harassment. And in it, we really go into the nuance of a situation like that, where the ways that 5D show up may be different. But something I want to stress in talking about police intervention in situations of harassment is to make sure that you are, if you're documenting, you're keeping a safe distance. And if you are choosing to delegate in the face of harassment and you want to ask for help from the police, I want you to go up to the person who's being harassed and ask them, do you want me to call the police? And that's just a pretty simple question that you can always ask. And then I want you to respect what that person tells you. Because if you call the police and they say, yes, you can do that, then you can support them that way. But if you decide to call the police against their wishes, you may be increasing the trauma that they're experiencing in the face of harassment. So I think we all want to be conscious that we're showing up to support someone. So calling the police may not be the best option for some folks in terms of delegating a situation.
We're talking with Gabriella Mejia of Hollaback. It's a grassroots organization aimed at ending street harassment and harassment in all forms. Still time to talk about this. Have you had to intervene or de-escalate in a harassment situation? What was that situation and what did you do in the moment? 800-642-1234. Gabriella, we heard from Deborah, who called in, couldn't stay with us. Deborah adopted her daughter from China and worries about her daughter's safety and wonders what she should do. She wonders how she can help protect her daughter, but also feel like her daughter can be out in the world alone.
I think it's never an easy question to answer, especially when it comes from parents talking about children or about their even grown adult children. I think what you can do is be informed, stay informed about the spikes in incidents. Learn bystander intervention. If you're ever out with your daughter, I want you to know how to support your daughter. We also share that it's important to know the history of anti-Asian harassment in the United States, because this is not happening in a vacuum. It's been anti-Asian harassment, anti-Asian hate is really part of American history. So maybe sharing that history, not just with your daughter or learning it for yourself, but sharing it with your community and making sure others in your community can be there to show up for her, that can empower you.
Gabriella, what should bystanders do when a situation turns violent or becomes dangerous?
In terms of when medical attention is needed, of course, we do recommend that you call emergency services. You call your 911, 311. In situations where perhaps you're in with a crowd and no one else is doing anything, or you're all feeling a little stuck, but you are all witnessing something truly escalating, I think those are the situations where you should definitely interact with the people around you. Turn to someone and say, hey, do you see what's happening there? Can you go get help? Turn to someone else and ask them if they can, if they feel comfortable intervening, if you do not feel comfortable doing that yourself. So definitely look for more people to intervene, and that's how situations de-escalate, when more people are involved.
We only have a few seconds left, but where do you find hope in this work?
I find hope in how many people have been joining us, how many people have been searching us out because they want to help. They are maybe Asian themselves, maybe they're not Asian, but they are seeking us. They're taking our trainings, our one-hour trainings, and that is pretty inspiring to me.
Gabriella, thank you for joining us and for this work.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here.
Gabriella Mejia is a trainings and communications associate for Hollaback. It's a grassroots organization aimed at ending harassment in all forms. You can find a link at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we talk with the Secretary of the State Department of Natural Resources about wildfires, PFAS, wolf hunts, and more. That's after a news update on the Ideas Network.